I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered by His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Thank you, Chris. Now, you praise the Lord, honey. Amen.
Last week I got
Amen. Wasn't here this morning, Rob preached on 3-2-1 victory. So if you wasn't here, you missed it. It was really good. Chris sung a song that I thought we were going to raise a house with. I never heard him sing it, I don't think, but it was powerful. But this is another service, and God still, he's still blessing. If you've got a testimony, you need to give it. Whatever God puts on your heart, you need to do it. We got an altar right here. If you need to come and pray, and this come now, you can enjoy the rest of the service this morning. I'm thankful. I kind of feel like, I think about it a while ago, you know, I kind of feel like the Trinity this morning. Now, you think about that this morning. I don't dress up very often, but one person come in and says, you look nice. Another man come in and said, you look like your funeral. Another lady hollered at me and said, you look like you're going to preach. So there's three different things, but the same person. That's what our God is. He's the same person, but he's three different things. Now, it's hard to believe for us to believe that sometimes, but that's who we serve this morning. So nothing else? Chris, go get this fire choir started.
People crying, looking on a man would think it tragedy. But what this world could not see was where it would break the chains of sin's captivity.
Yeah. church a minute.
Every night of it, we'll come and have a good time. And this just don't happen, people. There's a lot of work and a lot of effort goes into a choir singing like this. You see Chris up here, the water running down him. Well, he gives it his all. That's what we need to give our all. All right, dear.
Luke chapter 24. The tomb is empty.
Yeah, all right.
You can look at any religious leader throughout the world, and Jesus Christ is the only one whose tomb is empty. That's a hope that's a wonderful hope. He died for our sins, but He rose as He said He would on that third day. I thought as I was trying to prepare, and I looked through all the scriptures related to resurrection and the days after that, and I thought, as Rob talked this morning, he said Saturday was a day of silence. And yesterday was a day of silence for me. I looked, I searched, I did everything I could to come up with what I should be speaking on this morning. I said, Lord, You're going to have to help me. And He whispered to me and said, I've got it under control. And I thought, well, maybe it'll be a service where there'll be a lot of testimonies. I didn't know the choir would be still up here, but I'm glad they are. That's wonderful to have the sanctuary completely full. But the tomb is empty. And I'd like to give you just a few thoughts about what people were saying when they found the tomb empty. In chapter 24, it talks about they went out early in the morning. And they were going to the sepulcher, and they were going there to do the honors of Christ, to anoint His body, to prepare Him for death. But when they got there, the tomb was empty. And what went through their mind to start off with was, somebody stole His body. Somebody stole His body. But there was confirmation just right outside. One of the scriptures tells us there were two men in white apparel. And in this scripture here, it talks about them. It says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? And I thought of that, you know, as they went out there. You know what was different about this tomb than any other tomb? It was a borrowed tomb. It was a tomb that didn't even belong to Christ. But He had told him, He said, 3 days. 3 days. And this temple, I'll raise it up again. It'll be raised up again. And that's what He promised, and that's exactly what He did. But they went on to say, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. They had gone there forgetting what He had told them. They went there to prepare His body. You know, I thought this was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and some other ladies that were with them, Joanna. And they were there. But when they heard that word, they remembered. They remembered what He had said. I thought too, on over in this chapter, if you look in verse 13, it talks about another two. Talks about two that after they found out that Christ had died, they decided to go home. Yeah. They went back to Emmaus, a city about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And I thought as they were walking along and they began to discuss what had just taken place, not sure what had happened, not sure where Christ was, not sure, they had forgot His words too. But then even as they were walking, the Scripture says that Jesus Himself drew near. Can you imagine walking along and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who you had put your trust in, was gone, and now all of a sudden He's walking in. But they didn't recognize Him. They still didn't recognize Him. And I thought a lot about that. You know, they were, it was Cleophas and another, and they were still in the dark of who they were talking with. And He began to explain to them, and then they invited Him to come in and eat with them. On Friday night, we shared communion. The Scripture talks about that communion, and it talks about Jesus taking the bread and breaking it. And I thought of these two men, and I'd never thought of this before. But these two guys were sitting at a table with Him eating. And all of a sudden, Jesus took the bread and broke it. Can you imagine what they looked at when He broke the bread? They were looking at two hands that had been pierced where He hung on the cross. And it says immediately they knew who it was. I don't know if you've ever met Christ this morning, but I want you to know He's there for you. And He still... You know, I thought of those scars that they realized who it was they were eating with as He broke the bread. It was the Son of the living God. And He had gone home with them. And I thought, you know, a lot of times after we eat, we get heartburn. Usually because we eat too much. But these two had heartburn. It said, oh, how our heart did burn within us. Because they saw the Christ, the risen Savior. Their hope had just, you know, just grew to a point where their hearts began. You know, I remember when I got saved. My fear was I was going to die and go to hell. But I can remember my heart beating so hard. And actually burning. You say 9-year-olds don't have heartburns. Yes, I did. Because I knew I was missing something. I was missing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I didn't want to take a chance. I shared with the class this morning. We were talking about when we got saved. And I thought, you know, we were in revival. And I hope you all come to revival. You say, Aaron, I'm too busy. What if Christ had said, I'm too busy? I don't need to go to the cross for you. What if He had said that? Don't get too busy to serve the Lord. But I thought in that revival, we were in the second week. 2 whole weeks of revival. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? You're lucky to get 3 days. But I thought, you know, it was the second week. It was a Sunday night. My mom and dad had been saved on Thursday night. But I knew something was missing. I knew I was lost. And you can't be found until you realize you're lost. You go hunting or go out in the woods, you may be enjoying everything out there, but all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm lost. I don't know where to get. So then you begin to seek help. And so that Sunday night, they were making a decision on the revival, and they were saying, you know, maybe we'll close tonight. And I was sitting there saying, I sure hope not. I began to bargain with the Lord, and I said, Lord, if You'll just let it go one more night, I'll come and give my heart to You. That was crazy anyway. I should have gone right then. But they got up at the end of the service. And they said, we're going to take the revival on through Wednesday night. And I thought, thank You, Lord. Amen. Monday night, I was sitting on the front row, about where Wes is sitting right now. And I was waiting, and I was waiting. I thought, is he ever going to get finished? I hope there's somebody here this morning that's waiting on me to get finished so you can make it to the altar. But I'm going to take that out of your thoughts right now. Come now. Don't wait. I wanted to wait. I thought I had to wait. But then the Lord called me, and as soon as he called me, I hit the altar. And I thought, you know, my life has never been the same. I failed him many times. I've failed you all probably many times. But I'm serving one who never fails. They used to sing a song, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. He didn't fail us in this scripture. Some of his disciples thought, he has failed us. He's dead. He's not coming back. But these ladies, they ran home and they told the disciples. And you know how aggressive Peter was. Peter came a-running, flying. Said two of them were running along and he just shot right on in the tomb. And I thought, you know, what did he do after he saw the empty tomb? He began to wonder, what's going on? And then a little later, he took some buddies, and you know what he did? He went fishing. Seven of them went fishing. They were all fishermen before this started, but there were seven of them that went that day. And I thought, Christ, they need to see Christ. They need to realize that he's alive. And there they were, and they said that they were there, and he said, have you anything to eat? And guess what? They realized who it was. Christ was on the shore. And I thought, as he brought Peter in, we remember Peter for one thing mainly, and what's that? He denied Christ. How many in here have ever... No, don't raise your hand. How many in here have ever denied Christ? In some situation, somewhere in lifetime, we've probably denied him somewhere along the line. But when he started to talk to Peter that day, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter had denied him three times before the crucifixion. Peter had denied him three times. And the scripture says when that cock crowed the third time, he began to cry. He was very sorrowful because he had denied the Lord. But when they were on that shore, he asked him, first time, Peter, lovest thou me? He says, feed my sheep. He asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Now you get to thinking about it, and you think, wow, Christ is then asking twice, do you love me? What would Peter be thinking at that time? He's probably thinking, he thinks I don't love him. And the last time he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And so Christ, when we do something, when we fail him, you know what he does? He will forgive you if you ask. If you ask. Maybe you're here this morning, there's something in your life you need forgiveness of. Just ask him. The one scripture talks about ask. A-S-K. Ask. Seek and knock. And everything in the door will be open unto you. Seek and ye shall find. I thought too, wonder what the Jews thought at this time. They had just crucified Christ. You said, no, the Romans did, but the Romans wanted to let him go. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He said, I'm going to wash my hands to show I find no fault in him. I'm not going to do what you want me to do because I find no fault in him. It said the crowd began to cry louder, crucify him, crucify him. This is his own people. These are the chief priests. These are the Pharisees and the scribes. And anyway, so after this took place, I think it's in Matthew that tells us they were concerned with the empty tomb. They were concerned that what they had set out to do. So they came up with a conspiracy to say, okay, they paid the Roman soldiers. They paid them to say, somebody stole his body. So here you got his followers thinking the other side stole his body. And here you have the Jews that put him to death. They think they wanted everybody to think somebody stole his body. But nobody stole his body. He had risen just like he said he would do. And I thought, you know, they were in turmoil. Everybody was in turmoil. The Christians were in turmoil because they had lost their Savior. The Jews were in turmoil because they thought they had killed him. And I thought, you know, Satan also thought he had killed him. He thought it was all over. But you know, that day, on that third day, he arose. He arose. And I thought of another situation. I thought of the disciples. The scripture says they were all in the upper room after this. All but two. Anybody know who those two were? Thomas and Judas. Judas went out and hung himself after he betrayed Christ. But here he is. They meet, and Thomas is not there. Now, in Thomas's life as a disciple, what do we know Thomas as? The doubter. Anybody in here ever doubted? Sometimes we really get rough with Peter and Thomas and some of them that made a mistake. But when you look at yourself, you know that there's times in your life that you've doubted too. And I thought, you know, and Thomas was set on not believing. He wanted one thing to be assured, and what was that? He wanted to see with his own eyes. He wanted to take his hands, his finger, and put it in his nail print. He wanted to thrust his hand into his side because he didn't believe. The disciples saw him, and he was there. It says the next time, not very far after that, it said Christ appeared to him again. And Thomas was in the midst. And I thought, I don't see in the scripture where he put his finger in his hand or thrust his hand into his side. But he believed. And Jesus made a statement for all mankind. He said, Thomas, blessed art thou because thou hast seen, thou believest. But blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. You know who that is? That's us. That's us. How many in here believe the tomb was empty? How many in here believe that Christ died for your sins? How many in here believe that He's coming back one day? How many believe that? He's coming back for a prepared people. We often, during a funeral, will say, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And it is. And if you're not prepared, you're just like I was when I was 9 years old. I didn't have a clue until I realized I was lost. And I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. So you see, there's all kinds of examples in the scriptures. As you look through them, what they did after this fact. Some said he was stolen. Others said, paid the Roman soldiers and said he was stolen. Can you imagine those Roman soldiers? You know what their penalty was if they let someone escape when they have an assignment? Their penalty is death. And here they were lying to say somebody stole, but they weren't doing their duty. You know why they weren't doing their duty? Because they were dealing with the greatest power of all time. They were dealing with Almighty God. And when Christ arose that day, they couldn't stop it with anything. They couldn't stop him with anything. You see, when Christ died, they didn't kill him. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life for you and I. He gave his life freely that you and I would have this opportunity. As the choir sang, the tomb was empty. You know what's good about it? It's still empty. Christ is still alive. He's sitting. And also, as I was reading at the end of these, it talked about his ascension. A lot of times we think the ascension's only mentioned in Acts when he went away. But it's mentioned in those other books also. And it talks about he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. If you're here this morning, he's making intercession for you. If you're here this morning and you say, Aaron, I've never given my heart to Christ, now's a good time to do it. Easter Sunday morning, April 21st, 2019. It could be a great day for you. You know, when it's a great day for us, it's a great day in heaven. It says the angels rejoice over one soul that repenteth and come to the Lord. So you could cause a party in heaven today. You say, I don't want to bother him. You better bother him. You better get yourself ready, because the time is coming. A lot of you raised your hand. You believe he's coming back again. You have to be ready when he comes. You won't have a day or two to think about it. You got to be ready when he comes. And I'm thankful that I'm ready. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful on the road to Emmaus, those guys didn't recognize him, but he began to talk to them. He began to expound upon the scriptures when they sat down to eat. But when he broke that bread, there they saw who he was. I'm so thankful that one day I saw who he was. And I realized in my heart, if I didn't accept him, where I would spend eternity. You say, our God's a good God. Our God's a great God. Our God is good every day. But there'll come a day when he'll be your judge. And Jesus will be your judge. And he'll take care of you if you've accepted him. And it's not a hard thing to do. It's not a hard thing to do. All you have to do is submit yourself to him. Revival is coming. It's not a hard thing to do to give up some nights for the Lord. Look what he gave up for you. Look what he gave up for you. And we want you to realize this morning, maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you've never known Christ. But as we get a song of invitation, we're not giving you a new invitation. We're just extending one that's been out there for years. But remember, he died for you. He arose again. The tomb is empty. Come to him today. Bless you, Mark. Bless you, Mike. As he sings this song, stand with us. If your heart starts burning and it starts beating fast, that's the Lord telling you, you need to go. And don't wait any longer.
traveled many miles. She was going to have a child. She knew that life would never be the same. As she laid that precious child in the manger all the while, crying out, Jesus is his name. Then everyone around began to say, listen to his heartbeat, such a special heartbeat. It's the one I've only heard just one other time. Listen to his heartbeat, such a different heartbeat. His every beat just seems to be the hope of all mankind. Soon he was a man, and with words of light began walking shores of Galilee that day. He cleansed lives of their sins, and the blind could see. A lame could walk, and the dumb could talk, and everyone would say, listen to his heartbeat, such a special heartbeat, sounds like none I've ever heard at any other time. Listen to his heartbeat, such a different heartbeat. Every beat just seems to be the hope of all mankind. So they led him up a hill, and the earth grew dark and still, as they nailed him to that rugged tree. His blood came streaming down, down to thirsty ground. The whole world hushed at his final plea. So they came unto the tomb, and all their lives were cast in ruins, in their hearts crying bitter. Well, everything had changed, and the stone was rolled away. And then someone said, what is that I hear? Oh, listen to that heartbeat. Oh, there's that special heartbeat. It's the one I've only heard just one other time.
Such a special heartbeat. Such a special heartbeat.
Sure. saved, but I was able to go to her and tell her that I had been saved. You know, if you've got that legacy, the power of prayer there once again. The power of prayer.
Is he speaking to you this morning? I'd like for everyone, if you would, to bow your heads. Close your eyes. No one looking around. I want you to think about this. This could be your last opportunity. You could leave here this morning and never make it home. You say, Aaron, you're just trying to scare me. If I could scare you to give your heart to the Lord, I would. But if I scared you one way, Satan would scare you back out of it another way. But I'm wondering right now, if you're here and lost, and you'd like for us to pray for you, especially during this revival, I'd like for you just to slip your hand up. We won't come back and bother you, but we will pray for you. Is there one that could just slip their hand up? Bless you, hon. Somebody else. Just slip it up. While we wait just a minute. Is there another? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Anybody else? Bless you, buddy. Bless your heart. Anybody else? Bless you, buddy. Church, there are young people raising their hand for prayer. We want to see them saved. While every head is bowed, if you raised your hand and you'd like to come and have the church pray for you this morning, I want to give you that opportunity right now. You don't have to wait. He's there for you this morning. Is there one that would just come on right now? Just surrender. It takes courage. It takes courage. But if you want the Lord, He'll give you that courage. Is there another? Is there one? We'll sing one more song, Chris. And if you feel God's calling you, don't put it off. Just come on right now. There'll be someone here to pray with you.
Oh, soul.
Somebody else.
Your eyes upon Jesus.
Look to Him.
Jesus.
Look to Him right now.
When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as a burden's press and the care's distress and the
says there was a blind man sitting by the road one day. They told him that Jesus was passing by. And he began to cry out. And you know what the crowd told him to do? Be still. Don't bother him. But because he kept crying out to the Lord, that day he received his sight. This morning you might not be blind this morning, but if you're lost, you're spiritually blind. And all you have to do is cry out to the Lord, and He'll set you free. Amen.
Pray for her right now that God would give her.
like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can turn him away, oh Jesus.
We're thankful for each of you that have come. We're so thankful that
she came and laid her burden on the altar. And the Lord will take care of it for her. I'm just so thankful that she came. She raised her hand and then she moved on. So we're thankful for her. Those of you that have children, be thankful. Be thankful every day what God has done for your family. Please remember revival tonight. Is tonight you service? Huh? No you service tonight. Jim Kasdorf will be our guest speaker tonight. Come back and come back praying. And brother, yeah, give the Lord a hand. Our evangelist will be with us tomorrow night. His name is Mike Long. And if you haven't heard Mike, you'll enjoy him. So make plans to come. Bring somebody with you. We have guest singers each night, and they're in your bulletin. But do yourself a favor. Try to come every night. Maybe somebody in your neighborhood's watching you, and they think, "Where's he going? Where's she going?" They're going to the house of the Lord. There's revival. You be much in prayer, Greg. May the 5th, we've scheduled a baptism. Some of our candidates couldn't be here the last time we scheduled, but we got them lined up. If you haven't been baptized, plan on that on the morning of May the 5th towards the end of the service. Again, we're thankful for each of you, Jimmy. Be careful as you leave. Ushers, if you could grab those chairs and kind of get them out of the way so